Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here with you, and today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We go back to the phone lines as we're talking about the Bills, of course. You know, should they be even talking about trades yet? We're just going into the second month of the season. They're taking on the Houston Texans this week. They're getting healthier at some positions. They're also not at others. We're going to hear from Sal Capaccio at 11:30. But first up on the phone lines, we go to Mark here. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Anyways, very well.
I'm going to use a phrase of a guy I really don't respect for what he did to the Packers. Relax, guys. I feel like I'm going to use a term like I'm from the Twilight Zone, or I was just in a time warp. For 3 weeks, we had the number one team in the NFL. The offensive line dominated. The defensive line dominated. We had an MVP quarterback. That's all everybody talked about around the whole country. And I know you're only as good as your last game, but they got decimated everywhere. The defensive line, offensive line, nothing worked on Monday. You know what, though? They're not that bad as Monday. And everybody's doom and gloom like they're 0-4. Now, the guy that just called in, yes, I'd love Devontae Adams. Yes, I'd love the Honey Badger. Yes, I love the Amari Cooper. They're not going to go get players they got to play $20 million a year for. If they were going to do that, they would have done that, guys. And I understand they did. They looked like a pitiful team Monday in every aspect of football, from coaching and everything. Linebackers out of position where McDermott was throwing his arms. It was a joke. It was so bad. But they're not that bad. Come on, guys. Let's just sit back and let's dominate and beat up the Texans. Now, if we don't, and we get look like that again, then it is time to worry, guys. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Take care.
Mark, man, thanks for the call. I think that is absolutely the right way to look at it, too. You never want to get too high off of one game. You never want to get too low off of one game. Now, and as Mark brought up there, but if they look the exact same against the Texans, then it's all of a sudden becoming...
When it becomes a pattern, it becomes a problem.
Exactly. It becomes a pattern. With that being said, again, we talked to John Harris yesterday, the Houston Texans sideline reporter. He's not that big on the run game. So So at worst, it's likely not going to look exactly the same. I am worried, though, going into this game, namely Deion Dawkins' injury. They have been a very good O-line, really, outside of Sunday night. And Dawkins has been a big part of that. I don't really know what kind of depth they have at the left tackle position. We're going to see. We're going to find out. Potentially, but he was getting worked on a lot on Sunday night. Basically, after every drive, I think Sal was saying that they would come off, he would get worked on his hamstring and then didn't practice yesterday. Now, yesterday, you know, Baltimore, the team the Bills just played, are like notorious for that first game or the first practice after a game. A little bit of rest day. Guys don't necessarily have to practice, what have you, you know, work on whatever you have, you know, don't freak out about it. Bills, I don't want to say less so, but it doesn't always feel that way. I'm very interested in what today's injury report looks like. I think if you have Khalil Shakir and Deion Dawkins both still out of practice, I think then you're starting to look at the Houston game. They're going to be undermanned. And while I have not liked how the Houston Texans have looked, that is concerning. And Josh, like you brought up too, it's like, you know, you look at some of these games here, these early games could dictate how the Bills want to play with the trade deadline. Now, with the Amari Cooper thing, and that's why I've been bringing it up, they don't have to pay him $20 million a year. To Mark's point, you'd have to pay him $600K a year. He would be your cheapest wide receiver by quite a margin.
And again, he'd be one of the cheapest players on the roster, which is just would be crazy. I mean, that's the thing is I can't sit here and look at what the Browns did to his contract and think that he won't be traded to any team. There's someone out there that's going to trade for that contract. And I know he's had drop issues this year. I know he hasn't looked like Amari Cooper, but look who he's catching passes from.
Yeah.
He's got to be checked out. In this situation where it's just, man, what am I doing here?
I want to see somebody point out that stuff with Cooper because that the drop issues are a thing. He's leading the league in them through four games. I think he has eight, which is slightly concerning, if not more so.
You said it's $600,000 exactly?
I think so, yeah.
Zion Logue makes $618,000 at the cheapest player on the Bills the Bills cap hit.
Boy.
So
that's fun.
Again, if you go and get Amari Cooper, you get someone that, he won't perform up to the level of Davante Adams, but he's still going to give you something that you don't have on your roster right now. He's still going to add to your roster.
I don't even think you necessarily need Adams.
No.
I think they do need, I believe, another outside guy. But to Chris Trapasso's point, he tweeted this out, I think, a few hours ago. Cooper works, I think, more with the Bills, or at least how I'm taking it from what he said, too. He is more the yak guy. He's the outside guy. Mm-hmm. I think I saw someone else, I can't remember now who, but even said, like, Cooper probably works better for the Chiefs as well because he's not sort of that possession-wide receiver that isn't really going to extend plays where Cooper can extend plays. You saw it this past weekend with Cooper on a play that ultimately got called back and shouldn't have been. He had like an 85-yard touchdown for Cleveland, and their offense is useless. I mean, you had to get that from him. I think, though, Cleveland is the interesting one because Adams, the reason why he's being talked about so much is he effectively has asked for a trade. He has not outright done it because we're doing extra steps where he preferred to be traded. And Ian Rappaport today was also tweeting out some of the – commented on or tweeted on some of the teams he'd like to go to, and like Pittsburgh's on there, New Orleans, and Kansas City, and Buffalo were on there as well. Where Cooper is an interesting idea because of how cheap he is, because of how late the Cleveland Browns actually did rework his contract into the season. It kind of felt like that was something they were pivoting to, and how bad they've been up to this point.
And the one thing, too, is not only are the drops maybe because he has a bad quarterback, right? But I also look at it, and maybe it's a mental thing for him of him trying to overcompensate for that bad quarterback play, not knowing where the ball is going to go. I mean, I'm watching a highlight right now from their Jaguars game where he's going to be wide open across the middle on a slant route, or what looks like it's going to be a slant route.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell because it's so early on in the route that he hasn't really gotten set yet. He just turns to Watson as he's throwing the ball, and it's above his head. He's got to jump up for it, and it skips off his hands out of bounds. But like looking at this play in particular, and again, it's not a telltale sign of what he is as a receiver, but let's say this route continues over the middle, right? And he has more time to set himself up and be ready to catch a pass. It's not like he's just turning around to catch it. You got to wonder what that play in particular turns into. And again, this is, you know, one play. It's a bit of a broken play. Mm-hmm. I mean, Watson's getting hit as he throws it too. So that's another you know, thing to look at there. But it's just, I look at what he's dealing with, and I just don't, I don't know if it's a good indicator of if he's actually good or bad.
If he's been a major problem. I will say, though, so we're on Cleveland now here for just a second. They are 1-3. What do you think their highest point total they've scored so far in a game has been? I'll give you a clue. It's terrible.
Okay. I thought
not good.
Well, the way you loaded the question, I thought it was going to be like some crazy high number and we're just going to be losing all these games. I'm going to go with 19.
So close. 18.
Really?
They lost to Dallas in week 1, 33-17. They beat Jacksonville week 2, 18-13. They lost to the Giants in week 3, 21-15. And they lost to Vegas last week, 20-16.
You lost to Vegas.
They are one of the worst offenses in football.
It's
points per game
at
16.5. They're 27th in the league. Yards per game at 276.5. They're 30th in the league.
Who else do they have there? I mean, like, aside from Amari Cooper, is like
Jerry Jeudy is leading the way.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy!
In both receptions, yards, he's second to Cooper in touchdowns. Jeudy leads the way with 18 catches, 197 yards, and
Elijah
one touchdown.
Moore. Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore is there. He's got 12 catches, 81 yards. I loved Elijah Moore coming out of Ole Miss.
You got me on the Elijah Moore train a few years ago.
Yeah,
and
it has been a miss up to this point.
I just think that, like, we were talking about this in one of the breaks. It's like we were trying to find players that the Bills could potentially trade for that are more locked up long term rather mm-hmm. than this 1 year rental type, because that's what Cooper is, that's what Davante Adams kind of is basically, and it's tough to find. So I feel like you have to kind of get these rental players. I don't think you can go out and get someone that's locked up long term like the Bills did last year with Rasul Douglas. I don't think there's a situation like that, at least right now anyway, that's revealing itself.
No, I'm going to probably say it a lot until the trade deadline. I'd be very against signing, even if you traded for him, Davante Adams or Amari Cooper to long-term deals. I think this team needs to attack the draft like they've been doing.
Yes.
Their problem has been, the terrible luck of just like, all right, four wide receivers went right away. We got to take we got to take Dalton Kincaid. Or last year, it was such a good wide receiver class. I think, seven, eight guys went by the time you take Keon Coleman.
To be fair, they did trade down.
They did trade down, but, I mean, ultimately, they take the next receiver.
Right. But, I mean, if you look at that draft, right, who are the guys that were on all of our wish lists as, you know, us looking at the draft? One of them being Brian Thomas Jr.
He's
he goes
before.
At like 17.
Yeah. So I know people have brought up like the Malik Nabers and stuff. And we took a call. I can't remember which one, but even mentioned like, you know, we had a shot to go get it. Trading up for those guys is a bad business plan.
It's also impossible.
That's why it's a terrible business plan. You are going to give up so many draft picks in the hope that combination of Allen and let's throw it out there, Malik Nabers,
Brian
fixes
Thomas,
a ton of issues you will have almost immediately.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. at 23, by the way. So, actually not that high.
And he's looked very, very good with Jacksonville up to this point. Well, remember, I mean, Justin Jefferson was picked in the 20s.
Right.
You know, you can get very, very, especially as I brought up, the receiver position is entering into its golden age of just like every year you're going to have five or six guys that could be round one talents. Not every year are you going to have five or six of them taken because teams will have already done it.
But this year there were seven.
But I don't, but.
Like that's the thing. Like it's tough to like look at this draft again and think, yeah, you know, it's fine. Like, I'm not saying I'm not happy with Keon Coleman, but because, I mean, it's still very early on for him. But, like, looking at what everyone else is doing, if Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't have Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback, what are his numbers like?
Lawrence has been bad.
Malik Nabers is putting up crazy numbers with Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just look at all of the guys that were available. And, yes, Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. too. Those three were kind of untouchable. And we knew that from the start. We knew that those three would be
pretty
high.
As much as I think a lot of people wanted to trade up for him, that was just not feasible.
But a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., I remember watching him fall on draft night. And it's like, and then you see the trade graphic pop up when Jacksonville gets that pick.
I think I definitely jinxed it. I think that night I think I was saying something along the lines of like Brian Thomas to the Bills, it's written in the stars, and like he gets taken like 30 seconds later. I think I did do that.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's probably
because in
fault.
Reality, I mean, that's five picks the Bills would have had to move up originally. They were at 28, and you could have gotten up five picks, right? Like it's tough to say if it's doable, but at the same time, given everything that's going on at that point, you can't not go up and get that.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I think. I mean, again, it's a little too early to tell, obviously. But
it's very early to tell. But I'm excited to see what...
If we see the similar draft style next year, then I'm going to have some question marks. Because like you said, you have to kind of keep going at the youth here because there's not much available in terms of veterans, in terms of players that can help you now while your young players get better.
Especially because the best thing about a lot of these receivers, like the Malik Nabers, is you're getting him so cheap. You're able to fill out the rest of your roster well. Like, I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, in terms of cap hit,
yeah,
you're saying?
Yeah. The season's going to end, and we're all going to just unanimously say, no one's going to really put too much thought in it, Malik Nabers is a top 10 wide receiver in the game. I think most people would say that. Marvin Harrison Jr. probably will also be in that group. And they're getting them on effectively pennies on the dollar based on what they will be valued at in like 3-4 years. That's the importance of it. And that's where my frustration has been with the Bills up to this point, is that I don't think they've attacked that position enough. Their biggest issue when they had Stephon Diggs was not Stephon Diggs demanding the ball. It was the fact that he had to demand the ball in a sense, because the wide receiver room around him was never very good. We took a call earlier today talking about Ken Dorsey's stuff, or really the offensive coordinators in general post-Able. You got nothing out of Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you tried again with Gabe Davis being your number two. And while, again, there were flashes, there was just never consistent enough to be a number two. His stats were alarmingly similar the whole way down. And it led to a stagnation with the offense. Where now, over the last three drafts, they have attacked it. They've attacked weapons, not necessarily wide receiver, but weapons on the offense with James Cook, then Dalton Kincaid, then now Keon Coleman. I still think they have more work to do. As we're seeing, the one other guy they've added via free agency to a long-term deal is Curtis Samuel, and we're all sitting here going through four games, so I don't know what his role is. Do the Bills know what his role is? That still is going to be a need come April. It is. And to this point, too, I think now as well we're seeing a very clear what the Bills want as a wide receiver, and I think that's going to be nice to kind of figure out. They want yak guys. I'm looking at someone like Isaiah Bond out of Texas, Luther Burden out of Missouri. We'll see how the draft boards fill out. Burden's probably going to be out of their range. Isaiah Bond, though, potentially isn't. He adds speed. He's not a skinny, kind of twig of a guy like Worthy arguably is. Mm-hmm. But Bond could be absolutely somebody that is going to be interesting for the Bills. It's just adding a guy like a Cooper, if they were to do it. And I think up to this point, I still think it's very early to talk about that, because I do want to see how this goes. This year is figuring out what of your core is moving forward. What of this young group is talented enough to move forward? Yes, I get it. It's in the middle of a Josh Allen, prime year.
guess what? You're still winning with Josh Allen because you have him at quarterback. So you can figure this stuff out rather than have every year be a panic move to try to win the Super Bowl. That's not how it operates. That is how you immediately fall apart and lose. I mean, would we rather try desperately to trade everything away at the picks like the Rams and potentially miss? Because let's look back at that Rams Super Bowl year.
There was a lot that went right.
It took a lot going right, including inexplicably Tampa Bay just letting Cooper Kupp run down the field.
Right.
And even then, when he catches it, he doesn't score a touchdown. They have to fly down the field and spike it. Then, of course, you have Cincinnati, and that was even close to the point. I get it. One Super Bowl, yes. You're not definitively saying, though, you're getting a Super Bowl when you make these moves. What you are saying, though, is if it misses, we're screwed for at least 2 years. Yeah. Then you are wasting years. Then you are sitting here going, cool, we're Drew Brees' Saints when he was like 30, where we're 7-9, 6-10, our defenses are dreadful, our offenses are pretty good, he's throwing 5,000 yards, and we suck. Like, that's always my fear, because it's not necessarily a fear, it is just the likelihood of throwing everything to the wind to go make one big move, which ultimately won't move your win total. It'll get you a lot of talk on sports talk shows, on TV, what have you. It won't move your win total, almost ever. Quarterback moves your win total. But like here, Khalil Shakir, let's say for argument's sake he's ruled out. What's the Bills line right now against the Houston Texans? Do we know it? Probably. Buffalo is I'm seeing on Yahoo, I just threw up my sports app. They're at -1. You know what that line's probably going to be if Khalil Shakir gets ruled out, like tomorrow? -1. I mean, it doesn't change enough. Yeah. What does change, though, is having no draft capital and using all of your cap space, which you are building towards for next offseason, to get Davante Adams to sign for like a 3-year deal. I don't think the Bills will do that. It's a terrible business plan. Bad teams do that. Bad teams make the panic moves to try to become relevant and stay great. Mm-hmm. You see it a lot on falling dynasties.
Well, and you go back to there was a call we took in the first hour talking about how, you know, why hasn't this offense gotten anything out of it like Daboll did? And I think to go back to your Curtis Samuel point, it's just because they're trying to figure out what they have in such a short amount of time. Brady has only had not even a full season of NFL games under his belt yet as the Bills offensive coordinator. I understand he was an offensive coordinator in Carolina, but he didn't have Josh Allen. He didn't have anything else that he has here right now. When he was in Carolina, he basically just had Curtis Samuel.
Well, no. Like, I mean, he had DJ Moore and he had Robbie Anderson.
Okay, right.
It was more.
And that was kind of the end of Robbie Anderson, though. Like, as we...
In terms of, like, the high end, you're thinking
right,
good of him.
Right, as we knew of him, yeah.
But I think for me, what was always
he never had that quarterback there, though. That's the thing. Like, that's what I think he's trying to figure out now how to do is use Curtis Samuel with a competent quarterback. Because when he was there, it was... You have to figure out how to use Curtis Samuel with who was their quarterback at the time? Probably like P.J. Walker.
Teddy Bridgewater.
I know. Which P.J. Walker's just been there forever.
But that was always the one thing that I leaned on with that year is while they weren't good, he turned Teddy Bridgewater, who was never, at least in the NFL, never a big stats guy. And all of a sudden, he almost made him a 4,000-yard passer. He was very close to having 3 1,000-yard receivers. They were a bad team. They had to throw the ball a lot. I get it. But
I think
that was a nice sign to see. I think right now, though, what you're seeing with the Bills is they don't necessarily have the Robbie Andersons, the DJ Moores. They do have kind of their Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir for that year.
Well, that's the thing, too, I was just going to say, is you don't have that DJ Moore, which, again, a Curtis or a Amari Cooper could become that. A Davante Adams could become that, but obviously better in terms of Davante Adams. But you don't have that style of player. And I think that might be the one thing that they maybe didn't think they needed, or maybe they thought they already had in someone else. Who that might be, I don't know. But that's my point, though, is they're still trying to figure out what to make this offense do. And again, like we saw a lot of people saying, including ourselves, this offense, once it gets humming, it will be good. It just might take a little bit. It might take till week 6 or 7.
It might also ultimately, I know the guys over at One Bills Live have talked about this a lot, of like they thought that this team maybe overall could be better than last year's, but it would take some time.
Right.
It just happened to be that the first 3 weeks they were humming and really to a certain point also weren't having to flex their muscles. They were eliminating teams pretty early.
And
it might actually be something that, by week 5, 6, 7, they do finally kind of find their rhythm. I think it's the same thing with Dalton Kincaid. I'm going back with someone on Twitter named Michael. Kind of we're sort of in a disagreement of I'm worried about Kincaid. He's not too worried about him, but I mean, it's the thing that, like, we get to the bye week,
or not the bye week, the trade deadline, all of a sudden it's like, no, Kincaid's emerged. They've really figured out the role for Curtis Samuel. Shakir continues to do what he's doing, and all of a sudden we are sitting back going, Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, why would I do that? You know, I think they will have to make a move at some point in the deadline. I'm really kind of always there for any sports team in any league.
Yeah, you always want to bolster yourself.
Yeah, if you're in a playoff spot at the trade deadline, you should do something.
Because what's the biggest problem the Bills have had over the past 4 years?
Yeah, they run out of depth.
They run out of depth fast. And to be fair, every year is different. You never know how injuries are going to affect your team. But I would just, you know, I'd rather be more prepared than not. And so far in history, or in, you know, history will tell you that the Bills always need linebackers when it comes to the playoffs.
Apparently.
And right now you're seeing that very quickly because, I mean, Matt Milano injured right away and Terrell Bernard injured right away, but Bernard probably is coming back soon.
Yep.
Milano might be somebody you get back later on in the season, but it's...
That always felt like... That has always felt like a blind hope to me. That like, oh, he might be back in December. And I'm like, cool, I will see you in 2025.
Right, exactly.
That's like, always how it has felt to me.
But that's where it gets to the point of, you know, yes, offense could be in need at the deadline, but there could be very much other things that need to be addressed in terms of depth, like linebackers. But, you know, time will tell on that. I mean, it's tough to tell because you don't want to base your season off of what happens in the first half because you have to prepare for the second half, which is the important part.
Yep. Right?
I mean, that's the tricky part about trade deadlines, especially when they're in the middle of the season like the NFL's is.
Mm-hmm. Also, went to FanDuel Sportsbook. We brought this up earlier with the favorites. Bills are 1.5-point favorite in Houston. So, and if Shakir gets ruled out, I'd imagine it probably still stays at about 1.5.
Yeah.
Dawkins, though, I do wonder about left tackle. Or really like a tackle position, if that would change how things go.
I think with Dawkins, maybe yesterday was just kind of a, let's just hold you out for today.
We'll get a better look at practice, though, yesterday and also going forward to today. As coming up after a quick timeout, Sal Capaccio joins the show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.